invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Where, for those who regularly attend here, we've gone through the first two sections of 2 Corinthians 9 together, looking at the witness of our blessing, certainly looking then at the motivation that witness is in terms of thanksgiving, the witness that our blessing is to our thanksgiving that is to be found only in the Lord. And finally today, looking at the glory of God, the fact that His glory is to be the center of our celebration of thanksgiving today. And not only today, but certainly every day. So let's hear Paul's words. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, hear now the word of the Lord. Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year. And your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things and at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And then our text. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. The grass withers, the flower fades, but our word in thanksgiving lasts forever. Let's seek his blessing together in prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with hearts filled with thanksgiving, and yet, Father, we pray that that is the true desire and delight of our heart and not just that which we're conscripted to do today. That our praise for you this morning, Father, would not be an exaction, but that it would be a willing gift. And Father, that it would be bound up in a desire for you to be brought all praise and adoration and, most importantly, all glory. And so, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our spirit be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Children of God called to be saints, thanksgiving is always, at least it seems, that holiday that works in us some idyllic picture of not only our childhood, but also of years gone by, of the idyllic picture that really isn't honest about pilgrims sitting down peaceably with Indians to celebrate God's bounty to us, that idyllic picture of Norman Rockwell, which the turkey is way, way too big by scale, at least in terms of that picture. And yet, it brings us back to an understanding of thanks, of why we gather together on this day. For as we gather around that table, hopefully for you this afternoon, there with your family about you, having already given, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, testimony of what you are thankful for in witness and in blessing, I hope you'll pause to pray and to thank God for the myriad of blessings that he has given to you as a family. But how do many people pray in this day? If they pray at all, maybe it's a little bit more like the TV or the movies begin to show us about the saying of grace. For what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. Amen. And sadly, that's where Thanksgiving might end. Yes, after copious amounts of turkey and stuffing are consumed, and after a football game is watched and pumpkin pie found some way in those cracks, we're still left wondering, what's it all for? What's the reason for it? Why do we give thanks in the first place? I mean, after all, God is faithful. God will continue to provide for our gifts, whether we say thank you or not. Even our kids learn that. I'll go somewhere and I'll order food, and if I don't say thank you, they're still going to give it to me. In a day and age where it's devoid not only of manners but of thanks, we begin to wonder why. Why even have this day and age of which I can go into the fridge and get what I need to when I want, and I can go to the store, or I can go online and Amazon can drone it to me or have it to me at least in 2 days. Why do I need to give thanks? We say we're grateful, do we mean it? We say that we're thankful, do we say it? Do we live it? Tim Keller wrote, "It is one thing to be grateful, it's another to give thanks." As Reformed people, we're very good about talking about gratitude. Third point in the catechism, Pastor, we know this. We are a grateful people. But that isn't necessarily thanks. Because he goes on to say, gratitude is what you feel, thanksgiving is what you do. And that's huge. Because at our tables today, we may speak of gratitude, but it might not be lived in a life of thanks. And the reason why that doesn't happen is because we lose sight not only of Christ, but we lose sight of the glory of God. We lose sight of why those blessings have been given in the first place. Because all that we receive from the Lord is what? It's simply a heritage. All it is a gift of which we are called to use, to do something with it. Not just to say simply thank you or I'm grateful for this, but to live a life of thanks. So that our prayer might change today from "for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful," to a real understanding today of "for what we are about to give." To give you praise, Father, to give our lives in thanks to you, to use these gifts that you have displayed before us for your glory. But is that our heart? It sounds fine, even clever maybe, but that has to be the direction. Because as we bring our thanksgiving, and again, expanding that to a gratitude plus action, to bring our thanksgiving this day and every day to God, seeking that his name would be glorified, that his honor would be known among us and our nations, that his praise would be all the more glorious, that glory has to remain at the center. Why have these things been given to me? Why has this salvation been entrusted to me? Why is this gospel to go forth from me? It's because thanksgiving isn't about me. And thanksgiving isn't about us. Thanksgiving's about him. It's about his gift. It's about his glory. It's about his grace. And that's the reminder then that Paul has to end this pleading with the Corinthians about. Remember what you've been given. Remember that blessing. Remember your witness. Remember your desire at the first to be a blessing to all the other churches. And that reminder then comes to us. Remember, Faith United Reformed Church, who you are together, what you've been given, why you exist, the blessings that have been given to you, not only for you, but for me, for my glory, and certainly as a byproduct of that, for our good. And so today we have to remember his glory, that those gifts are a testimony of his glory, that your family gathered around you, a blessing to you, is a testimony of his glory, and a reminder that those things before us on the table or those people around us still point us to a future glory, to a better glory, to one that we will have for eternity with him. So we see this morning that the apostle calls the church to remember that the glory of God is a motivation for giving and thanksgiving. And the church can live out that life of gratitude and thanks each day then because of the gift of the Lord. And Paul then takes these last verses to remind them of what they have, that they have a supply of glory, that's in verse 12, that they have proof of glory in verse 13, and then they've been given a gift of glory in verses 14 and 15. The apostle calls the church to remember that the glory of God is a motivation for giving and thanksgiving. In fact, glory is why we were created in the first place, to be reflectors of his glory, to be made in the image of a God of glory. That even our Presbyterian friends say that the chief end of man is to what? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. This is our purpose. And yet we struggle sometimes with understanding that he is able to provide. And you say, that's ridiculous. On Thanksgiving Day, where we see bounty like none other, how do we doubt that? But we do it by way of holding back. Holding back our praise, holding back our blessing, holding it back even for ourselves. That we doubt as though not only that God is able to provide provision for us, but also that he's able to provide for us that we might live for his glory. And that's because we're thieves. We're thieves of God's glory. That Adam and Eve desired that glory for themselves. That first sin is a turning away from God's glory for man's. And how many decisions that we look at in our own lives and say, I'm still making the same decisions. That it's for my glory and not for his. And yet the God of all glory gives to us all the supplies that we need to bring him glory. There has been nothing held back from you as a child of God in such a way that you can't bring him glory. No matter your age, no matter your intelligence, no matter your ability, no matter your gender, no matter your anything, he has not held back anything that you need to bring him glory. In fact, everything that you've been given cries out glory. And so when we refuse to give thanks, and again, not just to say thank you to God, but to live a life of true thanksgiving, obedience and service, we steal from his glory. And so Paul has to, at the end of this section of 2 Corinthians, take the Corinthians again to that need to give thanks, to finish their contribution, to do that which they said they would do. But it wasn't about the stuff. It wasn't about the stuff. Paul isn't concerned, first and foremost, that the guys will go ahead of him in order to collect money. At the end of the day, the Lord would provide for their need. What he desires is their hearts. Are their hearts fixed on the glory of God? Are their hearts fixed in service to him? And it's a fitting lesson for us again this morning. That as we give thanks, as we serve, we do so in response to what God has done for us and that which he has supplied us with. We see that in verse 12. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints. And you look and say, that's still a point. That the Father has blessed us with so much that we might be a blessing to others. But he still wants our hearts. That has to be first. That God is never more glorified than when his people offer him the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Not that which is easy, the sacrifice. That when we give to God the glory and honor that are due him in our words and deeds, what are we recognizing? It's all yours. Everything is yours, God. We recognize that what we have been given, as we'll look at the end, is a gift, that you've supplied all that I am and all that I have so that I would be used by you for your glory. So that as we recognize that what we've been given is a gift, as his supply. We give it back to the giver of every good and perfect gift to use in even greater ways. So that, again, our lives are not consumed with the getting of things and the saying thank you, but of the giving of things and the use of our lives and the use of all things to his glory. And in so doing, he supplies us with a greater appreciation and thanks for his supply, for his love, for his care, that he has held nothing back for us in our salvation. And that care is one that others will come to know through us as we seek to bring all the glory to him. Because that glory, as the Corinthians would view it, and as we need to, certainly will supply and have a heart for supplying the needs of others. We see it in our offering this morning. It's why it's a part of our worship every week. The glory of God. Not what we get out of it or what others might get out of it, but his glory. But it also, then, is something that changes hearts. Yes, we supply for a need, but we supply for the greatest of needs. Because that verse continues, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. Yes, you provided a physical need. That's great, but the broader context of glory is greater. Because of this, God would not only supply their needs for which they would give thanks, but he will use them to supply for the needs of others, not just so they would be provided for, but so that they could bring glory to God as well in their thanksgiving. You see, that's sometimes the struggle of our hearts when we deal with having people give things to us. We're terrible as Dutchmen, maybe just people in general. But we're terrible with receiving things. We want to give, we want to serve, but when it comes to something for us, I don't need that help. I got to work for it. We got to struggle for it. And that attitude is a bogus one. It's ridiculous because what that does is move our eyes away from the glory of God and they focus in on me and my pride and what I want. But when I recognize the glory of God, Father, you have brought me to this place in my life that I might receive, that I might give you thanks for the ways that you've provided. You see, when we're that way, when we're stubborn about receiving help from others, what we're saying is, I'm more concerned about me and not about God. I'm more concerned with my pride rather than the glory of God. But God will supply your need. And when he does, we give thanks. How? In using that gift faithfully and cheerfully. And also in using it to be a blessing to others. For what brings forth that thanksgiving, again, isn't first and foremost the material blessing. Because read that again. In many thanksgivings to God. That in the way the Corinthians would give, this wasn't just one group of people who would be blessed. As we give, it's not just one person or one organization that's blessed. As we give our thanks, it's not only just for that specific purpose, but it's for a greater glory. It's for one of fellowship and thanksgiving. It's one that brings us together. Because the thanksgiving here, in overflowing in many thanksgivings to God, is not about supplying the needs of the saints. Overflowing in many thanksgivings to God was thanksgiving for the Corinthians themselves. It was about the people they were in fellowship with, those who were the work of the Lord. And so when that understanding is there, that kind of thanksgiving, that life of thanksgiving, is directed to God's glory joyfully, cheerfully in communion and fellowship together. So that giving and that receiving would be an act of worship. You see, the supply of glory is worship. That's how we come into the effulgence of the glory of God. It's how we bring that glory back to him in praise. That he supplies us by way of worship. And worship not only on Sunday morning or afternoon or Thursday morning, but each and every day. As we bring our lives before the Lord saying, Father, you are to be glorified in me, and you have all that is mine. All of it is yours. All of me is yours. And so use me in any way you will and when and where for the glory of your name. Use all my stuff. Use all of it to the glory of your name. And he will supply your needs in Christ Jesus. That's a place of trust. That place of worship is one that brings glory. And if we don't believe it, he gives proof of it. That's in the second place in verse 13. We read a couple weeks ago from the book of Malachi. Test me. Test me to see if I won't open up my storehouses for you. Test me. I'm going to be faithful to you. And yet with glory, it seems we still do the same. Can we trust God to be glorified among us? Can we trust him to be glorified in our worship and in our service? And yet the proof of his glory is found in what? It's found in two things here, at least two things. It's found first in the fact that others glory in him by way of us and what we've been given as well. Verse 13, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God. And the first part of that could be translated by the test of this service. And that's key. Because an understanding of bringing glory to God is all of one of motivation, of direction. If our service is just conscripted, if it's just prescribed, an exaction, it comes off that way, right? If someone comes to say thank you to you and you know that it's forced, why did you even waste the breath? Why did you even waste the ink? It's not genuine. It's not heartfelt. It's exacted. But for us, why does our service need to be exacted? But it's because we too, again, shift our eyes away from the glory of God and we move it to us. That even today, as the Corinthians were being tested in terms of their thanksgiving, maybe we need to be. Are we really concerned about the glory of God? Are we really willing to give and be thankful sacrificially in response to what has been given us in Jesus Christ? What is the motivation of my service? What is the motivation of my giving? Is it for our glory or for his? But yet Paul is speaking to their heart. By their approval of your service, by your giving your hearts in this way, in real gratitude, more in real thanks, in faithfulness, in kindness, in love, in that fellowship together as a body, what they're brought to again is that glory, that their offering, more their life lived in a renewed sense, would give proof that God was working among them as he was working in the Macedonians, as he was working in the Achaeans, that as we come together and give thanks, as we serve together as a body here in love, when those who are with us come, they see and say, those people are about thanksgiving to God, that they speak gratitude, that they live thanks, and they do so for the glory of God. Because what they will see as a congregation bound up as family and community, they're going to see proof of the fact that God's work is working among us, that his word is working among us. And so as we consider that glory today, the proof of glory in that second place is submitting to the word and living out a confession. You're saying, well, whoa, you're telling us we have to live. I hear that oftentimes from catechism students. We have to do this. We have to do that. You talk 10 commandments with anybody. You have to do that. This isn't an exaction anymore because Christ has changed my heart and he's changed my life and he's filled me with the Holy Spirit. This is the way that I get to live for him, and I'm grateful for it and I'm thankful for it. And I live my days now to the glory of God. Because we recognize that we're only tools. We're only tools in the hand of a Redeemer. We're those that he chooses to use as he wills and whens and where in order to be a blessing, to bring glory into the places that he has placed us. We do his work, and so we seek to be faithful instruments in the hands of a sovereign God because of what that means, because the proof is given out in submitting to word and living to confession, a confession of what? Because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. that in living that kind of way, fully consumed with the glory of God, we are giving proof of the gospel, that it changes things. It's the thing we're most thankful for today, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he has come and lived and died and risen again, ascended on high for us that we might have life and eternal life in him. That's why so much of Thanksgiving is broken for so many people, because it's apart from that joy in Christ and more that glory of God. Because the proof of glory is living in such a way that shows forth who is being glorified. And thanks for what has been given. Because that's from which flows out of that proof what? And the generosity of your contribution for them. And for all others. The people of God, the proof of his work among us, the proof of that glory that is seen, that we should be thankful for, is as we as a body are built up together and bound up together in that confession, in that gospel, in that activity of thanksgiving together. So that in so doing, that generosity is seen. And not just, again, in material things. I praise the Lord that that generosity is known here, that people are provided for and cared for here abundantly. I'm thankful for it. But how else are we to do that? Someone says, well, I don't have a lot of money. You have time. You have time to pray. You have time to be here. You have time to be an encouragement. You have time to write. You have time to be a blessing in any number of different ways. You have opportunity in church to talk with that person who's struggling, to give a hug to that one who needs it. You have the opportunity to be someone's accountability and for them to be the same for you. That in that kind of thanks, we give proof of his glory. And it resounds to that because it's his gift. And that in the last place. For when we live as those who have been called to resound with and reflect the glory of God, that's when we finally start to realize the wonder of his gifts to us. And we also start to realize that which we have to give. Because again, outside of that, outside of looking to the glory of God, well, I got, taxes are going to be due soon. And, we got kids in school and the things that they need and the things that we want to do. And, time, I'm gone all the time. I work hard. I work a ton of hours. And, my kids are involved in a bunch of stuff. And that's the way we start talking about it. And so talk of the church that may not come at the beginning but come at the end becomes an exaction. Why are they asking us to do this again? We got to sell this. We got to do this. We got to show up to this. There's no glory in that. There's no praise and wonder in, Father, I've been gifted something amazing. We have every blessing, material and spiritual, in Jesus Christ. That he will supply for all our needs in Christ Jesus. We say it. We say we believe it. But in understanding that gift then, that we give it. That we give back. That as we share the knowledge and experience of such things with each other, with those in this church, with those in the church around the world, we realize that his gifts, which bring him his glory, also bring us the experience of many other gifts. That as we give sacrificially of ourselves, our time, our resources, it's amazing what he gives back. It truly is. And at some Thanksgiving service, maybe we need to take that time to have a microphone and have everyone come up and say those times in their past, in their life, where they wondered, how am I going to be able to serve in this way? How am I going to be able to afford this? How am I going to be? And in giving sacrificially, God blesses in awesome ways, which resound again, not to our understanding or our doing, but to his glory. And his gifts and his glory then will bind us together as a called out people, as a family and community, as a fellowship, who depend upon each other. Verse 14, while they long for you and pray for you. This wasn't them saying we need your money. It's saying we need you. that they will desire not only to receive from the Corinthians, but also to reciprocate their love and their blessing, again, to the glory of God alone, that they would walk in love as Christ loved them and gave himself up for them, that they would do so together. Even as Paul says in Romans 15, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, that the Corinthians, in their blessing, now lead two groups of people who are far more disadvantaged than they are to be a blessing to, knowing that God would be glorified. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessing, they ought also to be of some blessing to them materially. And that's because of a deepening understanding of grace. Because hear that this morning. This isn't a plea for more giving. It's not that at all. Because God will supply all our needs in Christ Jesus. But what it is a call to is a deepening understanding of grace. Why is that there in verse 14? While they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Which brings us all the way back to chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. We understand grace. And when we understand grace, how much richer is our thanksgiving, and how much quicker our testimony to the glory of God. And how that works out for Paul is in doxology. It works out for him in a word of thanks. Verse 15, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. That the summary of all this talk of gratitude and thanksgiving, of giving and loving, of witness and blessing, is thanks and glory being given to God. That's still the point. That he accomplishes what he wills, that he will be brought glory in all things. And that's because we have the promise of his word. Isaiah 55, for as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And that's his glory. It's his glory and his praise that is seen in the life of Paul, that's seen in the life of the Corinthians and the Macedonians and the Achaeans. So is that true of us? Will that be true today in the end of our thanksgiving? Will it be true? Is that word succeeding in our lives? Is our life individually, our life together as a body, giving testimony to the fact that in our giving and serving and loving, we are most concerned with the glory of God and the praise of his name and thanks? For if we are truly mindful of that gift, if we know what that inexpressible gift here is, namely Christ, how could we not? Hear it again. Hear what you've been given, Romans 5. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. You have been made right with God. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. He is the gift you've been given. He is the reason you are full of gratitude, full of works of thanksgiving. And that too should bring forth from us glory, doxology. That here is one who has given us a gift we can never repay. Held nothing back, not only his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. So all our thanks and all our giving, all our hearts and all our lives, by way of his sacrifice, might be directed to his glory, which leads to more thanks and more praise and more glory now and forevermore. For what we are to give then, namely glory, should make us more truly thankful in Christ. And so may we go into this day then, desiring that, desiring to know more of what is ours in Christ and to give him thanks for it in our words and in our deeds. And so go forth in Paul's blessing in Romans 11, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment, how inscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for that wonder of your glory. And Father, in my own brokenness this morning, I feel like I've done such a poor effort in bringing forth what that looks like. And yet, Father, we should see it all around us as we reflect your glory. A concern for your witness, for your word, before more for your praise and adoration in light of what's been given to us in Christ. And so, Father, all we can say is thank you. All we can live is thank you. And Father, we thank you then that you supply our needs to bring you glory. And you supply the proof of the fact, Lord, that even in our brokenness, you're being glorified. And thank you that you keep bringing that gift of Christ before us. And so may he be in our hearts and minds always. May his glory be our central focus in our thanksgiving today and always. And may you receive all the praise for it. To your name be the glory alone, Father. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.